Well, shalom and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your jubilant co-host, and with our effervescent teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. And I hope you stay tuned with us. We've got a great teaching and prophecy and stuff like that for you tonight. But we're going to open with a prayer. Abba, we just bless you and we thank you. We praise you because you are great and you've given us this opportunity again to minister your word over the air and over the internet. And Lord, we want to lift up to you those that are hurting and broken from the shooting, and just comfort them. They're mourning. They're in shock. The survivors and the families and everyone associated with this tragedy, Lord, we just ask that you comfort them and reveal yourself to them. And tonight, as we go through these amazing prophecies, we just want you to bless our listeners with ears to hear, because this is important. This is your voice to us and your word to us. Especially tonight, we want to lift up Sheila's grandson, Willie, little Willie, just a baby, for his hand to heal quickly. Lord, if you could just, it's a terrible burn that burned on the palm of his hand, and we just ask, Lord, you are our healer. You made us, and you know how we work, and we just want to lift him up to you tonight for a speedy recovery from that. And as well as those who also wrote and called us with their needs this week, Lord, we lift those up to you. And again, we thank you, praise you, and glorify you in the name of Jesus. You are our God and our deliverer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John, for that great introduction, and welcome to all the listeners out there. Want to let you know that the phone lines are open should you have any questions on the end times, and that's 888-677-WORD.
Okay, and that was a good introduction. We used a lot of superlatives.
Yes.
How about your Hanukkah? How'd that go for you this week?
Yes, thanks for asking. I particularly enjoyed it this year. Every year,
thought
actually.
You did.
Too.
I saw your menorah in the window,
yeah,
and it's electric.
Did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I particularly liked the eighth day, which was Sunday the 16th, because I believe and have taught with detail many times, as last time, that Yeshua was incarnated into Mary on this day. And you can go to our web archives, both in radio podcasts and the newsletters, for this teaching. For this eight-day typology, the eighth day is a type of something. It has a great spiritual application for us Christians because it is a type, I believe, of our being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens when we are born again, John?
Well, we get Jesus comes in. And lives in our spirit. Like you said in Revelation 3:20, he's knocking on the door of your heart, and that's a synonym for our spirit being. And once he comes and lives in, he spiritually increases in size as well as we grow in him.
That's right.
Just sort of like a baby, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of got a spiritual typology, but yeah, as he grew in Mary's womb, he grows in our heart.
Amen. That's cool.
So the eighth day of Hanukkah is a special day, and if you're a Christian, I hope every year it'll be a really special day because of that miracle, because he couldn't have been born unless he was placed in Mary first.
That's right.
So that's just the biggest miracle.
And that was the Feast of the Lesser Lights. And
that's right.
He was
and
incarnated and born on the Feast of the Large Lights.
That's right. Tabernacles. Amen to that.
Okay.
Yeah, so please, if you're out there and you don't know Christ, just open the door and invite him in, and he will come into you, and that is the word, into, not just in you, into you. It's just, it's more thorough, you know, and he'll dine with you. Now, that word dine in the lexicon, deipneo, is 1127, and it means the most intimate and blissful relationship. And tonight, we are going to talk about a very unique prophecy and an amazing sign that is being talked about in many circles since we taught on it last year, and we mentioned it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
We taught about it actually in the when we did the verse-by-verse study in the book of Joel a few months back. And even last week, we had a call to this program about it as well. So it bears repeating, for it's a very intense sign, especially since we have the scientific data to complement it.
Well, whew, I can't wait for this, and I really want to get into this. But first, I've got to ask you, is there any pertinent news to report this week?
Well, internationally, pretty much the same chaos, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that tonight because we have a lot to talk about. We'll go into more detail when we come back after the new year, but except I do want to say something I thought was quite convenient for Hillary Clinton. You know, she fainted and fell and has now suffered a concussion.
But isn't she scheduled for the Senate hearing?
She is supposed to testify at the Benghazi hearings and now will not be able to.
Oh.
At least for a while.
Hmm.
You know what? We've talked about this, and you got to know, this is going to go down as the biggest cover-up in history.
Right. No one wants to talk about this terrible, terrible mishap.
Yeah, where their ambassador got killed.
Yes. Very bad planning, very bad foreign policy.
Right. And if you've listened to the past shows, you know my theory of it. And
sure.
If not, go back and listen, because it's pretty amazing. But
well, it looks like the government's going to get away with covering it up. I don't think people are going to
catch
on.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
Are you so surprised?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But I do want to remind people, please be sure to continue to pray for God's comfort to those who lost their children in that horrific slaying by, I'm going to just call it as it is, the demoniac. It is very difficult for these people to, have to go through this, especially during this season.
And you can bet those children are in heaven.
I'm one of those that believe all children go to heaven.
Yeah,
up until the age of 20, which was the Old Testament accountability. And again, we don't have to get into that, but that's what I believe in. And I just know they're in heaven. And besides that, God is good, you know.
Yes.
So you can just kind of focus on the fact that they're in the arms of Jesus. But also pray that there will be salvations from all this, that people realize how fragile and sometimes short life can be. And call upon the Lord. But it is one of those many signs where we are seeing the evil getting more dark.
Yeah, and many teachers and preachers have warned about this increase of darkness, especially since we've been pretty much kicking God out of our schools and out of the government. We're not allowed to talk about him or pray to him. So
right. We really don't want him here anymore.
And that's sad, and that's sad.
So, you know, you can't blame God.
Yep.
We've also been reversing good for evil and evil for good. Now, Isaiah 5 prophesied that that's exactly what would happen in the very end days.
Wow.
So, yeah, and have you heard about the new gay Bible?
Yeah.
It's now been released, and it's called the Queen James Bible.
For real?
It's unbelievable. There is a website, if you all want to go out there and look at it. It's called thequeenjamesbible.com. And I'm just going to read real quick what they actually, an excerpt from it, that they have on their website, on the front page. They said, known to biographers, but often surprising to most Christians, King James I was a well-known bisexual. Though he did marry a woman, his many gay relationships were so well-known that amongst some of his friends in court, he was known as Queen James. It is his great debt and honor that we name the Queen James Bible so.
Well, sounds like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah are here.
Yes, they are. And that's what else Jesus said would be in the very last days. Everything we do anymore is just a sign of the end times. But I do, before you go believing this kind of stuff,
I know King James was not the best king there ever was, but he didn't
behave
too well, but I don't believe he was.
I don't know. I wasn't there. All I want you to know that some writers say that the allegations of this, of James being bisexual, are lies, intended to destroy the king's reputation. And there was a writer named Stephen Ardent who said this. Anthony Weldon, once a member of the royal court, was dismissed by James and quite publicly vowed to get revenge. He attempted to spread rumors about James being a homosexual, but too many people knew James and quickly put them to rest. They didn't go any further. But it was Only after James was dead that Weldon again trotted out the rumor when none could gainsay it.
Wow.
But enough of that. Let's go on.
Okay. Well, we're about ready to do some scripture. What scripture do we want to use to kick off tonight's teaching?
Well, you know what? Let me begin by saying this. As many of you probably have already figured out that listen to this program regularly, I am very cautious about people's dreams and visions, and thus saith the Lord quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it is really just the flesh. In fact, I remain skeptical until I can see at least a past fulfillment of a prophecy or a partial fulfillment with the remainder yet to be fulfilled. And such is the case of tonight's amazing and since proven to be accurate vision from a man who lived in the 13th century.
Hmm.
Now, as we already stated in the beginning of the program, that I was led to teach, again, verse by verse, a few months ago, here on the air, from the book of Joel, which reminded me of some pretty terrific prophecies that 5 years ago when I taught it, didn't jump out at me as it did this last time.
So you think God's pulled your strings a little bit here?
There's no doubt whatsoever. But my attention was particularly drawn to some remarkable passages in Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. For some of you that know, it was confirmed again in Acts 20.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the pouring out the Spirit. And I'm just going to have you read half of that.
Okay.
I'm going to have you read verses 28 and just 29.
Okay. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days.
Now, that expression in those days, plural, means mm-hmm. the time from Jesus' first coming to the millennial kingdom. Days 5, 6, and 7, if you understand the day as a 1,000 years theory.
Yeah, or that picture that we have, a day as 1,000 years.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to point out in verse 28, it says that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh.
Hmm.
It doesn't say I will pour out my Spirit on those that are saved.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's interesting.
Because we know that there are Muslims seeing visions of Christ. We know Jews are seeing visions of Christ,
mm-hmm.
having encounters with Christ. And it's been going and not prevalent where it's every day, you know, or anything mm-hmm. like that, because God doesn't do that. But it certainly has happened. And it says your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions, and vice versa, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And also on men servants and women. Hello.
I thought you were included there in all flesh.
That's true, but he's being specific here. Women, too. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So praise God. What's interesting is that we're going to have a quick song, but I just want to give a little background. When we come back, I'm going to give you one of these visions that a man who lived way back in the 13th century, a legendary and prolific German rabbi and author, wrote. And it is absolutely amazing. It is so exact and so precise. It just made the hair stand on the back of my head. I'm telling you, it just stood up. When I read it, I mean,
yeah.
That's how amazing this is. But
it is an astonishing prophecy. It really is.
That's right.
It got, you know, when things come true, you know, that's pretty much.
That's true.
That's how you know.
But we want to get our quick break in so that we don't have to stop until we're done.
Okay, well, good news for you. We've got a nice song by Laura Fedor, right?
Yeah, she hasn't sang for us for a while, but she's a local.
She's a local talent singer, and mm-hmm. we know her, and we're just going to let her sing a nice Christmas song.
Nice Christmas song.
Let's go.
pretty.
That was very nice.
And sweet voice.
Laura Fedor,
yes.
Local talent. And
yes.
that was not only beautifully sung, but the song was well engineered.
That's right.
It sounded really nice. And her dad did that.
Yeah.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
Gabriel
yeah,
Fedor.
Got some good talent there.
Yes. Runs in the family. Hey, do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And some important reminders, your donations are still tax deductible, at least this year,
mm-hmm.
and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots Ministries. And what you do, just send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our websites. Any donation will put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, as long as it's over $1 million.
Yeah.
No. Radio time is not cheap, but include your address, and whether it's email or house address, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, email is a lot easier for us because we don't have to print it out and mail it and all that.
Well, we try to keep expenses down. We,
But if you don't have email, I'll be glad to send you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also be sure to check out the webpage where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. And you can order your teaching DVDs there as well. And we have the phone lines open. Should we? Can we? Okay.
We already do.
Okay, those lines are now open, and the number for your eschatological question is 888-677-WORD.
888-677-WORD, which is 9673.
That's right. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, if you live in the Cleveland area, mark your calendars. We're not doing that. We're not going to do it.
For the first Friday
of every
month.
Well, the first Friday, but not this Friday. For the first Friday of every month, because that's where we're at Chester Christian Center, and you can sing along with us and in worship and learn.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
That's right.
All right, let's get back to this prophecy that I want to share with everybody. His name was Judah Ben Samuel. Judah is a great name, don't you think, John?
Oh, I think, yeah. Yehuda. Yehuda.
And as I said before the break, he's legendary and a prolific German rabbi and author at the end of the 12th and the beginning of the 13th century.
Now, wait, why haven't I heard of him before?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I can't answer that, actually. I've only heard about him about a month now.
Oh, okay.
And it just wasn't time. The timing is everything. And
in prophecy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he wrote this way back then, and now it's coming to service because
he was well known
God
in circles, but not our circles. Now he's starting to get known quite a bit.
Because I think God wants us to know.
I think so, too.
You know, anyway. So, Judah, who had totally consecrated his life to God, now I mean really totally,
mm-hmm.
he made some astonishing, well-documented and specific predictions about the future of Jerusalem that came true, just like he said.
And that is the sign that you're looking for in a prophet.
True prophet.
Never makes a mistake. That's right. And the prophecy comes true, you know, well, okay, he's a prophet.
We have a lot of prophets today that say they are prophets, but they mess up, and then they say, well, I messed up on that one. Well, as far as I'm concerned, yes, you're forgiven, but I'm not following you anymore, and I'm certainly not sending money to your ministry.
I know.
You know, come on.
I wouldn't. And so, yeah,
these guys are people.
These are big-time ministers that are doing this. And
Many. So anyway, Judah Ben Samuel's students testify, that's past tense, mm-hmm. that he was a model of abstinence and selflessness and was awaiting with a burning desire and passion the coming of the Messiah. Judah, at age 77, published the results of his biblical calculations in the year 1217. Now, he said that 1217 was a jubilee year due to the visionary visit from the prophet Elijah, who must have told him that, and actually gave Judah the prophecies all in jubilee segments of time.
Jubilee segments of time. Now, what would a jubilee segment of time be?
50 years.
50 years.
Yes.
And this can be found in the Bible, right? The Jubilee?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's one of the...
In Leviticus.
One of the things that Israel never really kept too well, I don't
think. We don't know that, but we don't think so. At least there's not a lot of record of it.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because mm-hmm. God had other plans for that.
Yeah, and it looks like these
and now we're seeing it.
These may be the plans right
yes.
here. Okay.
Now, he said in 300 years, again, he wrote this in 1217, also the year he died afterwards,
by the way. Hmm.
But he said in 300 years from this year, the Ottoman Turks would conquer Jerusalem, and that would take it to 1517.
So did that happen?
It happened exactly. Then they would rule for 8 jubilees.
Okay, that's 50 years times 8.
That's 400.
400.
Very good.
400 years. Okay.
Now that would take you to 1917.
Okay.
And then Judah says in 1917, the British would conquer the Turks. And that happened exactly.
Exactly. To the year.
To the year.
To the year.
Now, I don't know about you, but this he wrote this 300 years before even any of this started.
Oh.
And he's been exact. And this is well documented.
Oh. And the British, of course, conquered the Turks, and that occurred during Hanukkah?
Yes, it did. They defeated the enemy during Hanukkah. How about that?
How fitting is that?
But anyway, then Judah went on to say mm-hmm. that when the British conquer the Turks, Jerusalem will be called a no man's land for one jubilee.
So that'd be 50 years from 1917.
Yep.
And that takes you to 1967.
That would take you to 1967. And again, that's interesting because that's exactly what the international community called Jerusalem from 1917 to 1967 under international law, Jerusalem was considered, and it's written down, as a no man's land.
And it's a technical term that they use.
Yeah.
Now, how could Judah have even guessed that back in 1217?
He could not have.
It's impossible.
Right. God had to tell him through Elijah.
He had to.
Or,
yeah.
Okay, so then Judah went on to say that in the next, or the ninth jubilee, Jerusalem will once again come back into the possession of the Jewish nation, which would signify then the beginning of the messianic end time. That, of course, happened in 1967.
Wow.
They regained Jerusalem in the 1967 Six-Day War.
Yep.
In other words, the real Messiah will be revealed to the Jews as a nation between 1967 and 2017, the Messianic end time.
So 2017 would mark another Jubilee, correct?
That's right.
All right. And he talked about 2017 or no, or did he stop it? 1967.
I believe that's when he stopped.
Okay.
But since 1967, by the way, more Jews have gotten saved in all of history.
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. And I believe this prophecy of Judah ben Samuel implies that by 2017, which, again, as we just said, another Jubilee year, the Jews as a whole will be spiritually delivered. And we know by Scripture that that's absolutely true.
Well, that's what Scripture says will happen.
That's right. They do in Romans and, where's the other one, John?
Romans and Ezekiel?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Ezekiel 38:23
mm-hmm.
and 39:22
yes.
tells us it will happen at the war of Gog and Magog.
What will happen?
The salvation of the nation.
Of Israel.
Of Israel, yes.
That's
As a
right.
nation, they will be saved. Oh, won't that be cool?
Actually, let me read Ezekiel 38, verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
It says, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, talking of God, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. But then in chapter 39:22, at the end of the war of Gog and Magog, it says, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward.
That's what it says. Well, that's pretty plain.
It's pretty plain. So that will actually be their Jubilee year when they get saved, because spiritually all your debts are canceled, your sin debts. You know, the debt you have to pay for sin is canceled. So in essence, that would be a jubilee year to them when the nation gets saved as a whole.
So now we have Rabbi Judah ben Samuel, 1217, predicting all these things, and they come to pass.
That's right.
So cool.
But they were so inspirational that, again, there's absolutely no sign that they could have been fulfilled without God. It just couldn't have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, remember, he was not able to experience their fulfillment.
That's true.
And again, it was 300 years after his death that the first of his predictions came true.
And just as he said, right there was no way he could have known that except for God.
That's right. So let's go into a little more detail.
Okay.
In Israel's Six-Day War of 1967, again, exactly one jubilee after 1917,
as this rabbi predicted,
Jerusalem reverted back to Jewish-Israeli ownership once again.
And thereby, according to the prophecies of Rabbi Judah, the Messianic end times began. The next jubilee, or 10th jubilee, would mark the Jews as a nation receiving the Messiah in their hearts.
By 2017.
And if you add the next jubilee, you get 2017. Now, Sheila, 2017 is right around the corner.
I know. They get delivered.
They get delivered as a nation.
Yeah. So, like, wow.
It's right around the corner.
Again, I'm not pinpointing anything. I just want to give you the facts. Let you do your own homework. Let the people pray about it and think what they think. I don't want to be one of those that say, well, this is going to happen this.
Well, I know you mentioned, too, that this is on the Internet, and this is known by quite a few people right now are picking up on this.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of,
they are.
A lot of religious and ecumenical people are. So is there anything we should caution, you know?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I've looked at some of the Internet sites and some of the YouTube things that say, 2017, well, that means there is no tribulation because we should have left 7 years before.
And that would have been 2010, right?
Right.
Okay.
And that didn't happen, so then therefore there probably isn't a seven-year tribulation. It's probably only 3 years, or there is no rapture at all. Anyway, they're very confused.
And this discussion's out there.
Yes.
Okay.
So what I want to tell you out there, listeners, is to listen to me one more time, that if this is all true, mm-hmm. and again, you make up your own mind on this, that the real jubilee is when they get delivered, when they get their sins taken away and their debt for sin is no longer having to get paid for by them. If Jesus took it. That is their jubilee. Now, we just showed you that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, they get saved at the War of Gog and Magog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have always taught, and I believe, that that's the middle of the tribulation.
Yes, you always have taught that.
Okay. So, if that's 2017 is in the middle of the tribulation, and then he protects them in the mountains down south, and probably in the same area where he protected them during the Exodus,
mm-hmm.
because typology and history repeats itself, then 2017 could just mean it's the beginning of, in the middle of the tribulation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because certainly it's a jubilee when you get saved.
I would say so.
You know, and that's a...
It was for me.
Was for me, too.
My debts were canceled.
Wow.
And that's what jubilee is. Your debts are canceled.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. How cool is that? Well, you said something about reading Romans. You know, it says this also in Romans.
Yeah, read verse 26.
And I want to do that. And Paul says, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
That's right. He's going to spare them. He's going to come out of Zion and save them from the War of Gog and Magog. They will see him, and they will recognize him, and they will get saved. It's very simple here.
Yes, it is. It is, very simple.
And so this salvation that they experience is the result of the War of Gog and Magog. And again, Ezekiel 38 and 39, read it both. It's pretty plain. And again, I believe that this is before the end of the first half of the tribulation.
Because of Matthew 24?
Well, that and because I think they're going to need a little time to read the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And in Matthew 24:15 says, in the middle of the tribulation, that's when the Antichrist makes the abomination of desolation.
Mm.
And he says, when you see this, then flee to the mountains.
Ah.
So that's exactly 3.5 years. So we know the wars before that because they're saved at this point.
Still, okay. Now, I'm thinking about the temple, but we know that's already prefabbed and can go up in a matter of days.
That's going to go up pretty quickly, you betcha.
And did you say you believe that the Lord protects them in the... Well, we went over that.
Yes, I did. Just say that.
Okay. Now, 2017 would be the next big date that we're not looking for. Where are we going to be?
Yeah, well, you know, 2017 is important, but if you want to believe the way I believe that there's a pre-tribulation rapture,
mm-hmm.
then 3 years before that would be kind of important.
Wouldn't it? Like you might take three from 2017 or even three and a half, and it makes... that's why we're looking at 2014 with big eyeballs right now, right?
Big eyeballs is the answer there.
Yeah, I know. This has stretched my eyelids a little bit.
I mean, I just have to share this with you, and I'm not one to ever say specific times or dates or anything. Mm-hmm. I lean towards, and then I let people do their own homework because that's the teacher in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. Please.
So you always tell people to, you know.
Do their own homework. Don't say Sheila says.
Right.
Do not use that word.
Do not say Sheila says.
No, you do your own homework, and mm-hmm. then you say, well, this is what I found out. This is how it's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think God wants us to know because he wants us to be excited about his return so that we can tell as many people as possible.
Exactly. Yes, you know? A lot of people are looking for something. That's for sure.
Well, here's the other deal. We have talked in the past mm-hmm. about these blood moons.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you put the blood moons with this? Oh, my.
Well, isn't that what NASA says the next blood moon will be in 2014?
See?
It does.
There you go.
I mean, that just says, wow, are you kidding?
Yeah.
But, again, according to NASA, our moon scientists say that the very rare blood moons are said to occur that also Joel tells us we will have prior to the day of the Lord.
Mm.
And we're going to get back to Joel here in a minute. But it is directly prophesied in Scripture, and I think that we should review this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but first I want to recall to people's minds Genesis 1:14. This is kind of important because this is on day four of creation, and mm-hmm. he's already separated the light from the darkness, so there was some light there.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he says in on day four, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. Now, I want to look at the word signs.
Yes, because that's the first thing listed.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's number 226 in the Hebrew, and the word is ot.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually means, in the lexicon, proof of evidence of maybe a fulfillment of prophecy or a warning or a distinguishing mark.
Mm.
So the sun and the moon and the stars are going to play a lot in the end times.
Yes, they are.
They really are. And if you read Revelation, you see we're going to have falling stars. We're going to have eclipses of the sun quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the moons is the one that I like to focus on because it's the easiest to remember.
Yeah.
To relate. So let's go back to Joel.
Okay, who is now speaking to... I guess directly to the last generation before his return.
Right. The couple of verses that we read before was more for days 5, 6, and 7.
Right.
From anyone that lives between Christ and his millennial kingdom.
Okay.
But now, in verse 30 and 31, he's actually particularly speaking to the last generation before his return. Okay?
Okay.
Because he says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood.
When?
Before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. So we're talking prior here.
Hmm.
But what's really exciting is that, according to the NASA again,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have four blood moons 2 years in a row. The next one is on Passover in 2014, and then still that year, there'll be one at the end of the year in 2014 on the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, here's the deal. If the rapture occurs, say around Rosh Hashanah, which many think it might, then we would have the blood moon in Passover just before the great and awesome day of the Lord, and then the one in Tabernacles would be during the tribulation, which Revelation 6:12 says that will happen in the beginning. So this is exciting stuff here.
Okay, so that's when. This is exciting.
It is exciting.
Well, especially NASA backing this all up. You know, they're pretty good at
Right, and then they said there'll be two more blood moons in the following year as well.
Yeah.
And that's happened in the past, and you'll have to go to one of our other shows maybe to see
that. They're able to do that because of the age we live in and the technology.
But here's the thing, John. There won't be another blood moon, tetra is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, I'm not even sure if there'll be any blood moon. I don't think there is until the next century.
Ooh, that's a long time. Yeah, that is.
And I just know we ain't going to be here that long.
Ah.
I know it. So I'm very excited about this, but again, I don't want people to go around saying, well, Sheila says. Because you're going to get me in trouble if you do that, because they're not going to believe you. In all probability. So please, do your own homework. Keep your notes with you at all times.
Yeah.
Use these prophecies. Use the blood moons things. But let it be your findings, and then they'll do much better at believing you.
I think so. And then you'll get it straighter, too, in your own head.
You will.
Yes.
You will.
That's one of the things that will happen.
Now, in verse 32, by the way, and I want to finish this.
Oh, yeah, in Joel. Yeah.
Yeah, because of the other scriptures that we have in Romans 11 and Ezekiel 38 and 39, I believe the rest of this verse in Joel is referring to the time during the tribulation. Because first, the first fruits of 144,000 are going to get saved. Then at the war of Gog and Magog, the rest of the Jews get saved.
Get saved, okay.
And verse 32, Joel says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then he clarifies it by saying what area of land, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance.
Oh.
That's salvation.
Yeah.
And he's pointing to the Jewish people because that's who lives there.
Yes.
And, of course, then we know that they feeded the mountains, as we've already said. And as the Lord has said among the remnant, who the Lord calls or saves.
Now, Scripture tells us what event brings them as a nation to the Lord.
I don't know how many times we can say it.
I don't know. In Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22. And
yes.
That's the war.
If you haven't written that down yet,
if you haven't, this is a pivotal a pivotal verse, I would call it.
Ezekiel 38:23
mm-hmm.
and 39:22.
War of Gog and Magog.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. We have a few minutes, so I just want to clarify a few other things.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, remember this, John, that there's another prophecy that was going on at the same time as all this. When Jesus, after he cursed the fig tree.
Oh.
Remember, he said in the very next verse, I didn't write down where that is, but I think it's in Matthew 24. But he said that when the fig tree begins to bud again, that'll be that generation, or I believe the average age of a man,
mm-hmm.
which is 70, according to Psalms, that all will see the fulfillment and all Israel will know their Messiah by the end of that generation. So Israel became a nation in 1948.
48.
If you add 70 years to that, what do you get? Do you need a pencil?
I got it. 2000.
I'm kidding.
2018.
2018.
Well, that's real close
all
to the.
All should be done by that.
Wow. Huh.
Where they'll know their Messiah. So we're looking at 2017. That falls right in there.
It does.
So again, you just keep getting all these things. More confirmation, more confirmation. And by the way, let me just mention this point. When we first taught on the blood moons and how excited we were about the 2014 thing,
yeah,
I had been praying for about a week that the Lord would confirm that with something else. And it was soon after that,
okay,
that someone sent me this prophecy on Judah ben Samuel.
Wow.
Yeah. So it kind of excited me to no end. As you know, because I called you first.
I know.
So, all right, I just want to read a couple verses to you about no one knowing the day or the hour.
Oh, yes, okay.
Okay. In Matthew 24, and actually it's verse 36, again in 42, it's also in Matthew 25:13, the same kind of concept.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And I just want to clarify, first of all, something that I recently figured out, because I had never looked up the word know before in K-N-O-W. But I did this time, and it says, but of that day and hour no one knows. When I looked that up, the word in the Greek is eido, and it's not the genosko.
That's what I was going to say.
It's usually used, which means absolute knowledge. But this one, eido, means to see or to perceive with the eyes.
Oh.
Yes. And it's number 1492.
Okay. 1492?
1492, if you want to look it up in the Greek.
That's significant.
And, you know, that kind of puts a little bit of different spin on it, because we have always said, well, nobody knows. But I think it's saying nobody will see it, because the rapture is actually an invisible event where he calls us up.
Right.
Contrary to when the second coming at the end of the tribulation, when all eyes will see him.
Oh, yeah, it does say that, and every eye shall see.
That's right.
So he made a point to say all eyes or every eye shall see at that point.
That's right. That's what I'm thinking, and I believe he's talking about the rapture, because otherwise, if we were still here during the tribulation, well, as soon as the agreement is signed, we can count the days. Revelation is very clear that we would know exactly when.
Yeah, so they'll know some were gone, but they won't see us go, is what he's saying. Is that all he's saying? Is
this just, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And then besides that, this was an idiom of the day for the new moon.
Oh, no man knows the day or hour. Of course, because that's you have 2 days to look for it, and it could pop up at any time.
That's right. And, yeah. And that could possibly be his hint to tell us that the rapture will happen on a new moon.
Yes. That's a good hint, too.
Yeah, very good hint.
Yeah. So,
and
is there a new...
say it probably will happen on a new moon. Also, we've got to remember what Revelation 3:3 says. He says, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. This is talking to the church. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you do not watch, and I believe this was the church at Sardis, who had broke away from the Catholic Church of Thyatira, but just never really started looking for Christ or gotten to the, you know, prophecy end of it, wasn't watchful, and really didn't lack the Holy Spirit, basically. So he's saying, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And then you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And this know is genosko. It means have the knowledge.
So you're looking up a lot of no's, I can see.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a difference between seeing and having that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's talking to the church, we are having the knowledge.
Yes, okay.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to point out here. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:4, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Don't you see? I believe he wants his close remnant brethren to know.
Yes.
I just do.
Well.
And now that we're getting even closer, I have more reason to believe that that's true.
I believe that's true, too.
We only have a few minutes, but I'm going to turn real quick to Mark 13:32 in your Bibles. And I think I can get through this in 2 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to let you use your Bible.
I will.
That's not the original one that you started teaching with, is it?
Just about. It's my favorite. But if we get to Mark 13. Yes, we're going to start with, first 28 begins about the fig tree, but we covered that. But in verse 32, it says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And at that time, that was the case. But here's the deal. This is so cool. He says, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Now, that time is kairos, and it means an exact moment of time.
Ah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. And then he gets specific. He says in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you all, watch. So he starts out with no one knows the day or the hour, and I believe he's talking at a very specific time. And then he clarifies it by saying, time meaning you don't know if it's going to be in the evening, at midnight, the crowing, the rooster, in the morning.
Well, that's the time. That's the space of a day.
Hours.
That's 24 hours. Yeah, that's a day.
So why would he go through all that if he was saying that, oh, you'll never know, nothing?
Yeah, well, exactly.
You will know, yeah. And we do know, and he's coming soon.
That's right.
And you better be ready and tell as many people as you possibly can.
You better watch out. You better not pout.
That's right.
You better not cry, because we're telling you why.
That's right. All right, let me leave you with this one recommendation. Judah ben Samuel was often called the light of Israel.
Wow.
We need to be the light of the church to the Gentiles. Even bishops came to Judah for advice. He emphasized that the precondition for answered prayer is that it is fueled by enthusiasm and joy for the greatness and holiness of God. I so much want to hear your thoughts about today's program, and I don't know, there's so much meat in this program that I think, since we are going to be off next week, rather than just play any archive, let's just redo this show next week. What do you think?
Yes, because it is, like they say, chock full of important meat.
And this way you can tell your friends, you can start giving them little hints about it, and maybe they'll listen.
Yeah.
Next week.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll just get out the old calling list and call some people to listen or email them, because this is really cool.
It is really cool. And again, I'm not saying pinpointing anything. You do your own homework, come to your own conclusions, and you be the teacher and share this information with others.
Okay. Is Jesus Lord over your whole life, or do you only have the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction? All you have to do is just get on your knees. Repent, and particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. You know what they are, and they're weighing you down. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Yeshua means salvation. And remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. And your soul never dies. It has to go somewhere. There's only two places, with God or with Satan. Yeah, and you have to decide that. But it's an easy choice.
Do it now.
Yes, absolutely.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep, for he is the great shepherd.
I say amen to that, and we'll say the Aaronic blessing before we leave you tonight. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yosem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Till then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Jerusalem shall prosper, not maybe, Psalm 122:6.
See you next time.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.